They get it into Shed. The final second drips off the clock, and you can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks win. A statement victory for Kansas. And your Hawks right back in the thick of the Big 12 race.
I didn't anticipate getting off to that good a start. You know, we thought the best way to attack them was to use all 50 feet wide and 47 feet long, and then hopefully be able to play behind their aggressiveness. And to start the game, we did that perfectly. Our first two turnovers, we had layups and just went ready to catch the ball. So, yeah, I don't know that I've had a team execute better against a great defensive team offensively in that first 10 minutes.
Bill Self talking about the big win for number 8 Kansas over number 4 Houston over the weekend. Listen, if I was a betting man, I'm not into that stuff, but that was the easiest money you'll ever find in your life. First of all, I didn't even need to know the line or who was a favorite. I would have taken KU to win that game. And then I heard they were underdogs. I'm like, you talk about stealing money. And Kansas rolled Houston. More on that coming up in a little bit. Plus, KU and K-State will play tonight. Sunflower Showdown. K-State going in the wrong direction. 4 losses in a row. KU with the big one over Houston. So we'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. The Beloit Girls C Team hosted and won their C Team tournament on Saturday. The Beloit Girls C Team, the champions of their C Team tournament. Minneapolis, Ellswick, Clay Center, and Beloit took part in the 2-round tournament. Beloit beat Minneapolis 53-25 in the first game, then beat Clay Center 35-34 in the championship round. Beloit has now won their tournament in back-to-back years. C-team 10-2 on the year, JV 12-1. Varsity Girls are 12-4, tied for the first in the league with Southeast Saline. And that's who Beloit plays tomorrow night at home at 6 o'clock. And this person that sent me this information said, please let everybody know to get out there and support the girls as they go for a league title, or at least trying to win a league title tomorrow night, which is a huge game against Southeast Saline at 6 o'clock. The boys game to follow at 7:30. That's also an important game as well. So there you have it. I've said it. They asked me to do it. Yeah. I've done it. And plus, I'll be there covering it on the radio and also with the live video stream as well. Had a big crowd out there Friday for Ellsworth and Beloit. And love to have another one tomorrow night.
I believe, if I saw Doubley's Instagram post, right, that the Beloit boys won the C-team tournament as well. So
yeah, so there you have
but
it.
But he didn't let us all know about that.
No,
probably,
he didn't. He didn't. He didn't, but yes, they won the C-tournament, and the JV's doing very well. I don't know what the record is, and of course, the varsity's the number one team in the state, according to the KBCA rankings, with a big win on Friday against Ellsworth, 68-50. So good things happening for Beloit girls and boys basketball, not only at the varsity level, but at the JV and C-team levels as well. Wrestling over the weekend, Dusty.
Yes, did have the Phillipsburg Panther Classic. The girls on Friday, individually from Smith Center, Chloe Padilla finished third at 135 pounds, and Lily Noah for Beloit finished fourth at 140. Those are the top individual finishers from the area. Then on Saturday, at 113 pounds, Brogan Monty of Beloit was first place, as he took the gold medal there, and then Brody Boudreaux took the gold at 215 for Beloit as well there in the Phillipsburg Panther Classic. And then Caden Schultz of Osborne, a third place finish at Phillipsburg there on Saturday. So you can find the full results for all that wrestling at ncksports.com. I actually did get also sent to me late last night the results of the junior high basketball PTL championships over in Osborne this weekend. And since the message was a little detailed, I'll pass this stuff along real quick. Girls third place, Lincoln beat St. John's Tipton 20-15. And the third place game, Tescott won 41-40 over St. John's Tipton. And the girls' championship, Sylvan Lucas winning the PTL tournament there on the junior high side 23-22 against Osborne. Tight game all the way. And then Sylvan got the win in the end. And the boys' championship, Sylvan won Sylvan Lucas 42-40. Lucas Sylvan, actually, I think is what they called the junior high, but they won 42-40 over Osborne. Donovan Holloway had three free throws to tie it with 2 seconds left to send it to overtime. And then, again, it was Lucas Sylvan winning it in the end by 2. So I figured I'd pass that along since the info was sent to me on that as well. And congratulations to all the PTL junior high teams on a great tournament last week. And I know that Osborne hosted that, and there was a lot of great things about that were said about that. Osborne's job hosting that over the weekend. So, again, congratulations to all involved in that. And we do have high school basketball coming up tonight to wrap up our local talk here. The Smith Center basketball teams are at Superior, Nebraska. Lincoln as at La Crosse. This was a regularly scheduled game here tonight, as was the Smith Center Superior game. And then Minneapolis at Valley Heights had a makeup game tonight as well. So that's scheduled for this evening. You can always find the latest in local sports schedules, news, standings, all that information at your fingertips. Again, check it out at nckssports.com. Your home for everything local here in North Central Kansas as far as high school varsity sports are concerned. So, again, high school hoops, high school wrestling. We're actually starting to come down to the end of the season. It'll actually be regional wrestling this weekend for the girls athletes. So we will keep track of that on our sportscast. And then coming up next week, it'll already be boys regional wrestling. So we're starting to come down to the postseason already in wrestling and getting ready for it in basketball at the end of the month.
Absolutely. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. KU knocking off number four Houston despite being underdog at Allen Fieldhouse, which is just silly. Jayhawks led a majority of the game, made 9 of the first 10 shots, built a 12-point lead, led Bez made 20 in the second half, end up winning the ball game by 13. Hunter Dickinson, 20 points. Kevin McCullough back from his injury, missed one game, scored 17. Johnny Furphy, 17. You heard Bill Self on the fast start in the big home win. KU's 18-4 on the season, 6-3 in the Big 12. And with KU beating Houston and Texas Tech losing again, this time at home to Cincinnati, the Big 12 race is wide open. And it is amazing how the Big 12 can change. And, you know, we were talking the other day about, you know, who do you like to win the Big 12? And we went through it, and Dusty quickly eliminated the K-State Wildcats, and he looked pretty smart when he said that, because they've lost two in a row since then. They lost two prior to that, and so forth and so on. And so it was like, well, you can't overlook Iowa State, although they usually lose a few they're not supposed to in the past. They're really good at home. Obviously, Kansas is good, but they've lost at Central Florida. They've lost at I'm going blank. Where else did they lose to?
West Virginia.
West Virginia, that's right. And then, you know, Baylor, and you know, that was one. I think Dusty's picked Baylor to win it. They're 5-3. They barely beat Iowa State the other day at home. They could easily be 7-1, 8-0 in conference. Lost a couple of really close ones. Texas Tech has now lost two in a row. This last one, Cincinnati at home. They're 5-3. TCU's 5-4. I think most people say now it's a five-team race between KU, Houston, Baylor, Iowa State, and Texas Tech. Although TCU and BYU are just a game out of first with four losses in the loss column. So, and it is funny how things can change. And I haven't heard from Max in a long time. So, Max, I'm starting to worry about you, my man. Text me. Let me know that you're listening and everything. But because we talked about neither one of us picked Kansas to win the Big 12. And part of the reason why I didn't pick Kansas is one, one is they haven't played well on the road at all. Okay. Now, I've said in past years, you have to pick Kansas until they don't win it. But this year, I've looked at Kansas and I go, man, they have no leeway. Like, they're just one injury away from being toast winning this conference. And they're not getting much for the bench. And they're still not getting much from the bench. But Johnny Furphy, inserted in the starting lineup in place of Marco Jackson, has been way better than Jackson when he was in the starting lineup. And so Furphy has really come on. So Kansas has five bona fide players. After that, there's still a major drop-off. Like Jackson the other day threw two ill-advised passes that turned into back-to-back threes, and just like that, Houston was down 12 instead of 18, and Bill was irate, as he should have been, and he jerked Jackson out of the lineup, as he should have, and put Furphy back in. But if Kansas gets any major foul trouble, somebody turns an ankle, this Kansas team doesn't have as much room for error as some of the other teams in this conference, such as a Houston or a Baylor. But now you look at the Big 12, after you and I having this conversation last week, and after one win over the fourth-ranked team in the country at home, and you just play the Saturday games, and now Kansas goes from being third to first, and they have the tiebreaker over Houston, just like that. Mm-hmm. So Kansas and Houston are now 6-3. Baylor's 5-3. Iowa State's 5-3. Baylor comes to Lawrence on Saturday. KU has to play Baylor twice. KU still has to go to Houston. And one of the other reasons that we picked Kansas to not win it was the unbalanced schedule, where Kansas has to play Houston twice. They have to play Baylor twice. They have to play K-State twice. There are other teams that, you know, don't have as tough of a road schedule in the Big 12 because of the unbalanced schedule. When you add in a BYU, a Cincinnati, a Central Florida, and a Houston. And so that's it's going to be a different dynamic this year when it comes to determining who's going to win the Big 12. And it certainly does appear. Hunter Dickinson has said it publicly. He said 13-5 wins this thing. He said, so we don't have much room for error because we can lose two more to get to 13-5. And then Kansas has, you know, a whole bunch of ranked teams to play the rest of the way as well. And tonight they got the Sunflower Showdown against Kansas State. And the Wildcats definitely going in the wrong direction. They lost their fourth in a row. As they lose at Oklahoma State, they're now 14-8, 4-5 in the conference. Oklahoma State 10-12, 2-7. Tyler Perry 19 points and 5 threes. Cam Carter 17. Arthur Kaluma 14. And K-State, as we said, reeling right now. And here is Jerome Tang on the loss to Oklahoma State.
They actually attempt more, like they're the number 2 3-point attempt teams in our league. And both Small and Wright are both really good shooters. And so they had some other guys that stepped up and make shots. And that's what has to happen if you're going to, you know, win a game. You know, guys have to step up. And so they helped us out a little bit at the end, missed a couple free throws that allowed us to, you know, have a chance. And so, but, you know, they did a better job today than we did.
They did. And so other Big 12 action over the weekend, number 18 Baylor won by 2 over number 12 Iowa State in Waco, 70-68. Cincinnati with the upset at number 15 Texas Tech, 75-72. Number 22, BYU picked up a win over West Virginia, 86-73. Has West Virginia won since they beat Kansas? I don't believe they have.
I'm
pretty sure they haven't.
I don't know. I thought they might have won one.
Maybe they won one last week. I'll double check it. Maybe they
but
did one last week.
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I've got it right here. When they beat Kansas, they lost. They beat Cincinnati at home on January 31st.
So they've lost
three of the last four since then, including at home to BYU on Saturday. And so Central Florida beat number 23 Oklahoma 74-63. And Texas won at number 25 TCU 77-66. So now we have the Sunflower Showdown tonight. 7:30 pregame on Z96.3 The Lake. You're home for the Jayhawks in north central Kansas. One of the things that stood out about the Kansas win over Houston was they rebounded. Kansas out-rebounded Houston by 16. Kansas did have 18 turnovers. This is a crazy stat. KU had 18 turnovers. Houston had 3, and they're the ones that won by 13. But when you out-rebound somebody by 16, that helps. Mm-hmm. When you have 42 points in the paint, that helps. And Kansas, I thought the effort plays, it was all about Kansas. And, oh, yeah, the great equalizer turning the ball over that many times is that you shoot the ball really well when you do get to shoot it. Kansas shot 69% against a team that's one of the best defensive teams in the country. So it was a clinic that Kansas put on, and they were 6 of 13 from 3. So now they got the quick turnaround against Kansas State. I saw this one coming. Friday, I even predicted it. I was like, listen, K-State fans are going to say that they have no chance to beat KU, especially when I come on the show on Monday on the Sports Ticket, and here we are on a Monday, February the 5th. I said, win or lose at Oklahoma State, K-State fans will say their team has no chance to beat KU. Then KU beats Houston, and then K-State fans are like, well, we can't beat them if they just beat Houston. And then if K-State does lose Oklahoma State, which was a distinct possibility that we mentioned on Friday, then it's going to be Kansas just coming off this big win over Houston. Kansas atop the Big 12. K-State's lost 4 in a row. They lost Oklahoma State. There's no way possible that K-State can hang with Kansas and win tonight in Manhattan. I told you. Well, here we are, and I'm going to tell you right now. Kansas State obviously has to play better than they have the last four games. That is obvious. But let's not fall for this whole charade again, okay? This happens almost every year with Kansas and Kansas State. And that is, many times, Kansas is coming off a big win. A lot of times, this game occurs on a big Monday, so it's a quick turnaround, in Manhattan usually, too. And yes, K-State doesn't do well in Lawrence. This game is not in Lawrence tonight. It's in Manhattan. And the place will be jacked. This will be listen, K-State fans, if you deny this, especially the way your season's going right now, then there's no way I can help you. This is K-State's Super Bowl tonight. This is their Super Bowl. This is the game that listen, K-State fans, K-State, I'm sure players on the team, they mark the two games against Kansas. That's the big-time rival for K-State is Kansas. Kansas, their big-time rival is Missouri. Missouri's no longer in the conference, so the next best thing is K-State. That's just the way it is. If you take that as disrespect, sorry, that's just the way it is. I mean, Kansas-Missouri goes back to the Civil War, for crying out loud, so kind of hard to top that one. No fault of K-State's. But K-State tonight, I expect them to play very well. Their season, to me, is on the line. They need a marquee win, desperately. And KU will be higher in the rankings when the rankings come out. I don't know if they've come out this morning or later today. But Kansas will be up in the rankings, at least 8, if not higher. K-State, many people say this is an easy win for KU after just absolutely annihilating Houston. K-State's losing to Oklahoma State. Kansas is going to overlook K-State, which I know Bill Self will do his best to make sure they don't, but you know, it's human nature to look at K-State and go, they lost at Stillwater. Kansas is going, we pummeled Oklahoma State in Stillwater. We pummeled them just last week in Lawrence. And K-State can't beat Oklahoma State? Well, we should go in there and win that game. For some of the younger guys, they might think that. Now, for guys like Kevin McCullough, they'll know, hey, you know what? I was a part of a team, and DeJuan Harris, I was a part of a team, K.J. Adams, that lost to K-State last year in Manhattan. 83-82 in overtime. Okay? Is this the same K-State team that beat KU a year ago? No. Is this the same KU team that lost to K-State last year? No. Dickinson wasn't on this team, okay? Arthur Kaluma wasn't playing for K-State. There is no Keontae Johnson, Marquise Noel, Grady Dick. There aren't those guys. But I'm telling you, the way it's set up, this is the chance for Kansas State to resurrect their season. It starts tonight, okay? If they beat Oklahoma State, that wasn't going to help their resume. Does it hurt their resume they lost to them? Yes, as we stated on Friday. But you beat Kansas, that's much bigger deal than losing Oklahoma State. You beat Kansas, that's much bigger deal than losing Oklahoma State. You beat Kansas, now all of a sudden you say to yourself, oh, we're 5-5 in conference, and we're only a game behind Kansas in the conference standings, for crying out loud. See how quickly this can change? It changed so quickly last week when Dusty and I were talking about KU, and now all of a sudden KU's atop the Big 12. It could easily change tonight. Well, K-State has no chance of doing anything. And all of a sudden, boom, they win tonight against KU in Manhattan. They play their best game of the year, and they're 5-5 in conference play, and they've got their big marquee win, and they still have a lot of work to do. Even if they beat Kansas tonight, K-State has a ton of work to do to try to get the NCAA tournament. And I know Dusty said last week, they're not a tournament team the way they're playing. Well, that's pretty obvious. You lose four in a row, you're not a tournament team. Anybody that's lost four in a row, probably not really a tournament team. But can you overcome it? Yes. There have been teams that have lost. Connecticut last year started poorly, won a national championship. Okay, Kansas had a year where they went to, I think, the Final Four, and they lost three games in a row in conference play and won the Big 12 championship. So you can recover from losing some games in a row. You can. Okay, so it starts tonight. If Kansas State doesn't win tonight, then I think you can start going, okay, this season's about done. Because you'd be 4-6 in conference play. You've got a ton of games that are tough on the schedule going forward. Plus, you got to go to Lawrence again. So there's, once again, two ways of looking at this. As a K-State fan, you can moan and bellyache about, okay, and you're giving up on your team already, which means you're not a true K-State fan if you're already giving up on this team. That means you quit on your team. And wow, you as a fan watch K-State play basketball, and you don't want them to quit, do you? But yet you're going to quit on them? Oh, I'm not going to the game tonight because I don't want to watch KU stomp them. Well, guess what? There are people have done that in the past, and K-State ends up winning, and then you look like, oh, man, I really wish I was there for the court storming. I wish I was there when the players are on the scores table celebrating. Listen, I think K-State's going to have a hard time winning tonight. I do, but the scenario is there again. And it's been there multiple times over the last 10 years that we've talked about the Sunflower Showdown. K-State plays better at home. Most teams play better at home. KU's coming off a big, emotional, hard-fought win over Houston. And they don't play their bench very much, so their starters got to turn around, and they've done it before. But Kansas has been turning around this year. They went to West Virginia on a Saturday. They lost. They gave up 91. They went to Central Florida on a short turnaround. I know that for sure. The West Virginia wasn't as much short turnaround, but the Central Florida, I think it was a Monday or Tuesday game. And they ended up losing that game. They lost at Iowa State. So Kansas hasn't exactly set the world on fire on the road. And you have a lot of players playing a lot of minutes on Saturday. Even though they won comfortably, Adams played 37 minutes, Harris played 38, Furphy 35, McCullough 37 after missing a game, and Dickinson 34. So I'm telling you, there is a scenario here where K-State wins tonight. And for you to think that they have no chance of winning, then go ahead, save your money. Don't go to Bramlage, and take a chance that you may miss something really special. Am I predicting it to happen? No. What I'm saying is, I believe it can happen. And I have seen Kansas State teams worse than this one give Kansas all they can handle in Manhattan. I have seen Kansas State teams have an unbelievable performance by one player and do crazy things against Kansas, or at least have a chance to win. Sometimes they have won in those situations. A Jacob Pullen, Michael Beasley. We can go on and on about various guys that had big performances for Case against KU over the years. And if Jim Woldridge's team, and I go back to this one, can go to Lawrence, I know it was a long time ago, But that Kansas team was pretty dang good that year. If a Kansas State team under Jim Woodridge, who wasn't that great, goes to Lawrence and wins against KU, then, yes, K-State can win tonight. So there are the elements present. And let me go over them again. Here's the elements present for an upset. Usually when you need an upset, you need the other team to overlook you. I think it's human nature for Kansas to overlook K-State tonight. Okay? K-State's lost four in a row. Now, the players like KJ Adams, DeJuan Harris, Kevin McCullough can say, listen, we're not losing Manhattan again. We did last year. So that's one thing they got going for them. But the guys that weren't on this team a year ago that play a lot, like Johnny Furphy and Hunter Dickinson, that doesn't resonate as much. And you're playing a wounded animal. And there is nobody more scary to play than a wounded animal. And what I mean by that is you've got a team that is desperate tonight. Kansas State has got to get to every loose ball tonight. They got to be diving headfirst for loose balls. They got to play physical. They got to get off to a good start. They'll have the crowd behind them. And that's exactly what Kansas just did to Houston. Kansas went into the game against Houston as an underdog. Kansas played like the desperate team that had to win the game to keep their Big 12 championship hopes alive. They knew they had to go to Houston later in the year. They couldn't afford to lose at home. Kansas got to almost every single loose ball. I saw Furphy beat Houston loose balls, and Houston's one of the most physical, tough teams I've seen all year long. But Kansas out-physicaled them. Kansas flat out, at times, and I don't like to say this, but at times I thought they wanted it more. They truly got after it. Kansas had the home crowd behind them, got off to a great start, and Houston never recovered. Why can't K-State do that tonight? Kansas is not a great outside shooting team. So if you can clog the middle and not let Dickinson go nuts, Kaluma's a good athlete. I don't know if he's going to guard McCullough. I don't know what the matchups are going to be tonight. But Kansas State can do the same thing Kansas did from the standpoint of hit him in the mouth right off the bat, have all this energy going, have this momentum, and then Kansas State is in the game in the second half, and guess what? That bodes well for who? The underdog. Kansas is not as desperate of a situation as they were going into the game on Saturday as K-State is tonight at home. Now, Kansas knows, as I just mentioned, Hunter Dickinson, 13-5 wins this thing. We can only lose twice the rest of the way. And you definitely don't want to lose one of those two to your arch rival right in state on a Monday night. But Kansas still has some leeway there, okay? Kansas State, they've got to find a way to get into the NCAA tournament. And the only way they're going to find the way in the NCAA tournament is to get some marquee wins, or they're going to have an unbelievable week in Kansas City in March. And I know Dusty doesn't think his team has a chance in hell of winning tonight. I can tell by your body language.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, your body language looks like you're like, you don't really think so.
No, you brought up the tournament. My body language changed because I was just going to say that watching this team right now, the only way they're making the NCAA tournament is if they make a run in Kansas City and win the whole thing. That's it for me. Like, this team is not anywhere near what it needs to be, even if they get an upset win tonight over KU. I just don't think
they can sustain it.
I just don't think a win tonight is turning around all the issues that this team has.
Okay.
It's going to be a big boost for them, no question, if they can do that. But I just, in my gut, and you can say that I'm giving up on my team if you want. I'm not. I'm wearing a K-State hoodie to work today.
Right.
So, what I'm saying is just the way they're constructed and the way they've been playing. We talked about it early in the Big 12 when they got off to a 4-1 start. They really haven't played anybody yet.
Right.
And so they haven't had to have the tough games yet. And when the tough games came, the tough things came for them too as well. Yeah. And they've just not responded to any of that yet in conference play. So that's why I say that. Like, the only way, because you look at their resume and the wins that they had in the non-con are not helping them anymore, and the losses that they had in the non-con are getting worse because those teams are not winning right now. The USC's and Miami's that you thought might be winning a lot of games at this time of the year, they're just not doing it. And so
Villanova, they had a win over Villanova. Villanova's had some losses.
Yeah, and those are bad. Those losses have turned into even worse losses now that they had in the non-con. And so the resume just doesn't add up. And now you're under 500 in the conference, and it's like, yeesh. They absolutely have to win tonight to have any kind of thought process of that happening. But if they don't win tonight, now you're 4-6 and you're tail spinning, right? And do I think they have a chance tonight? Absolutely. KU lost at West Virginia and UCF. How am I going to say that K-State can't win in Manhattan tonight against KU?
Right.
Those are two teams that K-State really didn't have any problems with the two times that they played when they played those teams. Rolled West Virginia and Morgantown, and UCF looked like a bad team that day. They were fighting with each other, and it was like we came back on because KU played them right after that, and I'm like, I don't think you have much to worry. UCF's not very good.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at that team, and I was like, they're just not that good. And then KU goes and loses to them. So, no, absolutely. I'm not saying K-State's out of this game at all tonight. They could come out, and what needs to happen tonight for K-State is for Tyler Perry to start like he finished in Stillwater. Him get off to a hot start shooting from outside, and Arthur Kaluma has to play like a man tonight. Those are the two things, the only two things that can happen in my eyes to see K-State actually pull a win tonight.
Well, because Cam Carter's going to play.
And
well,
Cam Carter, if he plays like Cam Carter, will be just part of that, right? Like, I don't think Cam Carter's going to go off tonight for 38 like a Jacob Pullen or something like that. If Cam Carter plays and is consistent in what he does, then yeah, that'll be a key part of it too. But they need Tyler Perry to be making shots early in this game and not waiting until the second half when you're down by 10 and trying to make a comeback. And Kaluma, I think, has proved when he comes out and plays aggressive and plays big boy basketball, as I called it that day when they were playing Central Florida, because he was hot at the start of the game. If he does that, then that changes this team on a dime, and they're just a different team, but they just haven't done that lately.
Well,
and so, yeah, absolutely, I think K-State has a chance to win tonight.
So what you're saying is you agree with me they have a chance tonight, but you think it's not going to really mean much.
It doesn't look like it's a thing that can be sustained with the way they're playing all year, not just now.
Right. Well, K-State, their conference schedule, they beat Central Florida by 25 at home. They won at West Virginia by 14. They lost at Texas Tech by 1. That's a game that's going to come back and haunt them, I think, because they should have won that game. Baylor, they stole one there at home. They kind of stole one at home against Oklahoma State, too, to be quite honest.
Yeah, they shouldn't have beat them the first time.
Shouldn't have been the first time. Lost to Names, lost in Houston, got blown out. Lost to Oklahoma at home, got blown out. And then lost to Stillwater, so that's a four-game losing streak. Well, let me go ahead and be positive, Paulie here. You beat Kansas tonight. You're at BYU. Now, BYU is a good team. That's a tough road environment. I get that. But if you can hold serve your next two home games, I know it's a big if. Okay, I get it. Kansas at home. If you steal one tonight against Kansas, you go to BYU. You carry it over. You win there. Then you got TCU at home, and you got a whole week to prepare for them. And you win these three games. Okay, and I know there's a big ifs. KU at home, but two of them are at home. Okay, if you're a good enough team to make the tournament, you win these home games. Simple as that. Kansas and TCU at home, that would be two top 25 teams you beat. At BYU, that would be three straight ranked teams you beat. Your resume suddenly gets a gigantic lift. You then are sitting at 7-5 in conference play going into Austin. Then you get BYU, West Virginia at home, which you'd say they're winnable. At Cincinnati, you know, that's tough, but can be done. At Kansas, you're going to probably say no. And Iowa State at home, who knows? So that's the positive Pauly, all right? The negative Nelly would say, listen, we got drilled by Houston. We got drilled by Oklahoma at home. We lost to low Oklahoma State, and we should have lost to them twice. How in the hell do you think we're going to beat Kansas, BYU, and TCU in the next 12 days? Fair. It's fair. I'm just saying, which K-State team is it going to be? Is it going to be the K-State team that rolled Central Florida, went in the West Virginia and won, and played great for 35 of 40 minutes against Texas Tech on the road and should have won that game? And the team that beat Baylor? Or is it going to be the team that struggled past Oklahoma State and then lost to Names, got drilled in Houston, got drilled against Oklahoma at home and at Oklahoma State? And I don't know what the answer is, although I'll tell you what I believe. I believe Kansas is going to get K-State's best shot tonight. And if Kansas State does win tonight, then the bigger question tomorrow is going to be, what will we be asking? Can they carry it over?
Yeah.
And that's what we'll have to find out and see. Because if you beat Kansas, but you turn around and lose at BYU, BYU is a good team. They're ranked in the top 25. But you feel like you gave it back in a way. So if you lose four in a row, you got to have a winning streak somewhere here. If you're going to get off the bubble or on the bubble, which I don't think they're on the bubble, to be honest with you, but if they are, you want to be...
Not after Saturday, they're not.
I don't think they should be on the bubble at all. They don't have any good, great wins other than the Baylor game at home. That's it. That's their one win. So there is a lot of work to do for Kansas State, but you can't win three games at once. So you start tonight. And I'm sure Jerome Tang's saying, okay, guys, this is the turning point of the season. This is it right here. We got to come out. We got to play like Kansas did against Houston on Saturday. We got to bring it like our life depended on it. And I think Kansas is going to get K-State's best shot. Is K-State's best shot to win tonight? I think if K-State brings their best shot, it's definitely good enough to win tonight because of what I said earlier. Kansas has struggled on the road in Big 12 play, and this is going to be the most hostile environment they've played in so far. Maybe Iowa State. Iowa State's pretty hostile. And KU was right there with Iowa State. I will say that, but they didn't. They trailed most of the second half. And what happened in that game? Iowa State hit a ton of threes. What's going to have to happen tonight? K-State's probably going to have to hit threes, obviously. They don't really have a great inside offensive presence, and then you have Dickinson inside at 7-2. KU's a good defensive team, although KU has given up three-pointers this year. So K-State's best bet to win tonight is to probably hit the three. Well, you know what? We know that there's the highs and lows of depending and relying on threes, and sometimes you feast on threes and you pull off an upset the next day, you can't make anything, and you live and die by the three. And I think K-State tonight's going to have to, you know, live by the three. And that's doable because, you know what, teams usually shoot better at home.
Yeah, well, yeah, you feel better about that prospect when you're in your own gym.
Yes.
And so, yeah, they don't have anybody that can match Dickinson even close, so they do. They have to have people, the guards have to shoot well, and like I said, I think if Kaluma would have a gigantic game here tonight, that would change a lot. But it doesn't look sustainable right now.
This is the 300th meeting between KU and K-State on the hardwood. Bill Self is 40-7 against Kansas State, 1-1 against Jerome Tang as they split the series a year ago. KU leads the all-time series 204-95. At Bramlage, KU is still an amazing stat, and it's definitely gotten better. But I think it was 24 in a row that Kansas beat K-State in Bramlage. And then finally Beasley and Walker and K-State beat KU and everything else. And then since then, it's been pretty much even, you know, 500, which, you know, if you're going to go on your rival and you can win once every other year, that's actually still pretty good for KU, but not obviously as good as it once was. 29-6 all the time at Bramlage. So we'll see what happens here tonight. During the Big 12 era, KU is 21-6 at Bramlage. So, I mean, Kansas has won there many times, as we know, but K-State, that seems to be the last 10 or 11 years, done a much better job of holding serve at home, and they did last year against Kansas. We'll see if they can do it here tonight. So what's the prediction? What are we going with here, score-wise?
K-State's going to have to keep that a little lower if they want to win, I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to pick 72-68
KU. 72-68
KU.
This is where I should just take a shot in the dark and make myself
look
really smart, right?
I was
really
going to do it,
right?
But it's just like...
You just can't buy it, huh?
Not, like I said, the potential's obviously there. It always is. Mm-hmm. But I can't go right now.
Well, I've heard that before, believe it or not, from K-State fans. I want to, but I just can't do it. It just, nothing tells me that's going to happen. I'll be different here, and then I'll look really, really awesome tomorrow if K-State wins. And at the same time, K-State, you know, they lose. It's like, oh, yeah, whatever. But, I don't know, though. I'm not really feeling K-State winning tonight either. Like, I think they're going to give them a good game, but I'm not really feeling K-State winning tonight. Like, I've felt it before. You know this. I've called this upset a few times, and K-State fans have told me I'm idiots and I'm nuts. And then they're going, wow, how'd you figure that one out? I'm like, it was a gut feeling I had, the energy, the feel I had. I watch both teams play a lot. You don't watch KU play as much as I do, so forth and so on. Kaluma's going to play outstanding, and I think he can. I think this could be the game.
Absolutely, he can.
I think this is the game where he can just, you know, take flight, and Tyler Perry's going to have to play amazingly well. Man, I tell you, I just don't. What the heck? Let's just go ahead and let's see if we can do it again. My gut's not really feeling it as I have when I picked this before in the past, but I'm going to say K-State wins it 75-72. How's that? And KU fans can bark at me tomorrow. Listen, I'm just being different, for crying out loud, you know?
And potentially, if you usually would say and sometimes pick the upset, and now you today, even though you pick K-State, but you say your gut's not feeling it, my prediction should be like 80-62 KU.
Is that your gut? That's what your gut is?
No, because my gut is saying they should stay in it, uh-huh. but yours is saying that you don't even feel like they're going to win it, and you're still picking it. And it's, I don't know. It's,
yeah.
There's just...
If you would have picked K-State to win, I wouldn't have.
You know, last year it was like you felt real good about K-State at that point of the season. But it's not there right now. I don't know how well they're, you know, gelling right now either. And I think that's, there's the rotation is so messed up still that, I mean, you get to February, that stuff should be figured out. And guys are not stepping in and taking their spots in the rotation. So that's the biggest concern probably for me.
Well, I'll give you another scenario how K-State wins this game tonight. And it doesn't have to be in the 70s. You and I are both saying in the 70s. It could definitely be lower than that. And I'm going to give you the scenario where Kansas State wins ugly. I mean, they win a grinder. And that is, you pack it in on Dickinson. You don't let him get going. And McCullough has not shot the ball. He shot the ball well Saturday against Houston, but prior to that had not been shooting the ball well for a couple of games, okay? Furphy is a freshman. He's 17, maybe now 18. And so this is going to be new for him. And DeJuan Harris doesn't seem to want to shoot it when he's open. That's your three-point shooters. So if I'm K-State, I almost think I pack it in and say, if you can hit it, you can hit it. And if KU hits it, then you're in trouble. But if they don't, then now you got a chance, because then it's going to be in your head a little bit. And nobody off the bench, I think, is going to go hit some threes. I don't think Elmo Jackson's going to do it, or Nicholas Timberlake. So Harris, Furphy, and McCullough, the guys are going to have to hit threes. And all, first of all, Harris doesn't shoot a high volume of threes. Furphy is really shooting it well lately, but this is a different experience for that young man. And McCullough has been a little bit inconsistent last few weeks shooting a three, although, like I said, Saturday he shot the ball better. What was his numbers on Saturday against Houston? McCullough was, well, he only took two threes, so one out of two. So that really, he was 7 of 8 overall. So, I think I could see a night where Kansas isn't shooting the ball well from the outside, and then you rely so much on Dickinson, and probably the X factor for Kansas is KJ Adams. That's probably the X factor right there.
Yeah, it's...
I see scenarios where K-State
wins. It's interesting how you should defend that, I think, as a K-State team. Like, do you let Dickinson just get his and then just like just pressure the guards outside? I think you do that maybe at Allen Fieldhouse.
I don't think you do that.
When they're coming to your place, just don't let Dickinson beat you and then just try to make them beat you from the outside. And then if they're making shots and knocking them down, then you might have to adjust, but you know, I think when you're at your home place, you try to take out the guy that's going to hurt you. And that's Dickinson, obviously.
Play physical, try to get under Dickinson's skin, hold him down, and then rely on Kansas to settle for jumpers.
Yeah.
And that's a scenario where you can beat him. Now, Kansas might knock him down tonight. But there, I see the scenario where this game's in the 60s and K-State wins a grind.
Oh, the formula to win ugly is there for K-State.
Oh, I agree.
Pretty much every game that they've won this year outside of maybe that UCF game has been an ugly win. Like, they've muddied it up, and it's not – you know, they asked Jerome Tang about that one time in the post game. He's like, well, I've never seen an ugly win because a win's a win.
Right.
But I've seen some ugly losses, and so that's the way K-State – has been when they've won games. They had to beat Oral Roberts in overtime. And I'm like, these are teams they should have been rolling that they're playing overtime games against and had to sneak past North Alabama. I was there for it.
Yes.
They've got the ugly winning thing down a T.
Yeah, well, that's what they need tonight. That's what they need. In the American Athletic Conference last Saturday, Wichita State struggles continued. I was watching this game against Memphis. They led almost the entire way, but Memphis pulled it out 65-63. Colby Rogers led the way with 19. K-State women suffered their second straight road loss in the Big 12. They're ranked number 2 in the country, but they'll fall considerably in the rankings. They need Aoka Lee back. We knew that they would at some point. I think it was just a matter of time before they lost a couple of games, and here it is. They lost Oklahoma on the road, lost to Texas on the road 61-54, trailed by as many as 19 in the second half. half. Shot 36% from the floor. Eliza Maupin had a career-high 18 off the bench. Sundell had 14. K-State 20-3, 9-2 in the Big 12, but right there near the top of the standings. Texas now 21-3, 8-3 in conference play. KU women went over TCU 81-74. They're now 12-10, 5-6 in the Big 12. When we come back in 30 seconds, the Chiefs get ready for the 49ers Super Bowl 58. There was the Pro Bowl games that took place this weekend. And is the NBA, is it too easy to score points?
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. When your vehicle has a problem or needs maintenance, Kiever Brothers is your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Whether you need tires, brakes, batteries, belts, hoses, air conditioning, a transmission, engine, or just an oil change, there's only one thing you need to remember. We fix everything. Kiever Brothers Automotive delivers fast, friendly auto repair, and we fix everything. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit and online at KieferBrothers.com.
All right, so there wasn't much on TV yesterday. It was kind of rainy outside, and so we actually watched some of the Pro Bowl game stuff, believe it or not, my youngest and I. And the NFC beat the AFC in the NFL Pro Bowl 64-59, but it's a culmination of skill competitions to get you points plus the flag football game. Buccaneer quarterback Baker Mayfield, the offensive MVP, and Saints linebacker Demarion Davis was the defensive MVP. Now I got that out of the way. Let's focus on what really is important. That's Super Bowl 58. Coming up this Sunday, 5:30 kickoff. I would assume the pregame's at 4. I have not received anything Westwood want. It'd be nice. The Super Bowl is this weekend. It is Super Bowl week officially now. The Chiefs and the Niners. Jerick McKinnon, it looks like they may get back possibly. That would be huge.
Yeah, it would, yeah.
If he's healthy, that's huge. That would be great. So we'll continue to follow the injury front with the Chiefs. And, Kadarius Toney claims that somehow that thing he put out there was altered.
Seems like and sounds like something you've done plenty of times in the past.
Could we be done with Kadarius Toney? I mean, I would be more than happy. And I actually might just throw a party if I know he's inactive for Sunday's game, although he did come up big last year in the Super Bowl. I realize that. You know, the more I think about the Chiefs-Niner game, the more I'm concerned. I've been Mr. Optimistic with the Chiefs most of the season. I was late in the season. And then I felt great against the Bills, and they won. And then I felt good but not great against the Ravens. I felt, obviously you'd be concerned. But I thought the Chiefs would pull that one out. The 49ers, to me, are a different animal from the standpoint that they have multiple offensive weapons. They do have a quarterback that you're sitting here going, well, is he as good as Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson? Well, statistically, this year he was. But he's never been in this moment before. Of course, in fairness, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen haven't either in regards to the Super Bowl. But he has guys he can dump the ball to, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. Defensively, the Niners have not played as well as they'd like to the last few weeks, which is scary. They're still winning, and their defense isn't playing that well. They can run the ball, and McCaffrey, of course, is the gigantic X factor. The defense will have its hands full, the Chiefs' defense. I think my biggest thing about this game is, this is going to sound really weird because I've been saying this for a while, that the Chiefs just need to get to 24. If they get to 24, that's the number for the most part. Only one time did the Chiefs allow more than 24 this year. So that's assuming the Chiefs can hold the Niners to less than 24, which I think they can. I'm not saying they will, but I think they can. My question is, can the Chiefs get to 24 on offense? And here's why I say that. You may be going, well, what do you mean? That offense is really clicking now. Is it? Like, Buffalo, they played well against Buffalo. They did. Offensively, actually, they were pretty good. Now, they had a few three and outs there in the second half. I thought they were a little conservative. Of course, if they would have scored, if Hardman didn't fumble ball at the one, they might have won by double digits. They were really good offensively in the first half until the defense came around. But I should point this out, that Buffalo was without six defensive starters. Last week against the Ravens, the Chiefs went down the field and scored in their first two drives. They turned the ball over on a 4th-and-1, or they would have had a field goal if they'd taken the points. They got a field goal before halftime. In the second half, they had 60 yards of offense until that final drive when they threw the ball on a 3rd-and-9 to MVS and sealed the deal. They scored 17 points. I don't think scoring 17 points is going to be enough against the Niners.
No.
I could be wrong. And I don't even know if a 24 is going to be enough for sure. But that's my biggest concern right now with the Chiefs offense is, can they score enough against the Niners to win? And I think the Chiefs defense will do their job, and they may hold the Niners to 21 or 24 points. I'm trying to figure out how they're going to do it. And I know they can, you know, but you got to think the Niners are going to have a plan to take Kelce away. You would think. Mahomes will make plays with his legs. I get that. Pacheco might be able to run the ball a little bit. Having McKinnon back for pass protection is really big. These tackles are going to be are going to have to play well because you got Bosa and Chase Young. The Niners' defense is legitimate. I think there's some weakness in their secondary, but I don't know who the Chiefs can really beat deep down the field. Rashee Rice would be the guy, I guess. Yeah, I think Rashee Rice is going to have a pretty big game for the Chiefs to get to 24 points if you assume they've got to get that far. And so that's a thing that I'm wrestling with as a Chiefs fan is, can the Chiefs, I know it sounds crazy with Mahomes at quarterback, but with the weapons he has, we know this is the worst receiving corps he's ever had. And you do still have a rookie in a big-time game. He may come out, you know, perfect and play awesome, or the moment could be too big and has a couple of drops. Who knows? And the Niners have that, you know, that revenge factor on their mind. They should have won the first time. They blew the lead, 11-point lead in the second half. Mahomes with the 3rd and 15 to Tyreek Hill, and if that throws a half second later, he's sacked. You know, the Chiefs caught it. You know, they barely, and that the margin of error is that small when you get to the Super Bowl. I think the Niners are a more complete team offensively than they were 4 years ago. Obviously, McCaffrey, Purdy, I think, is better than Garoppolo was then. The Chiefs' offense is not nearly as explosive as it was then. You had Sammy Watkins, you had Tyreek Hill. Now you got to rely on who's going to replace those guys. I guess Rice is one, but you know, after that, we know it's pedestrian. The defense for the Chiefs is better than it was then. I get that. That almost canceled out for me by how much better the Niners are offensively. So, and I think Kyle Shanahan's going to have a lot of tricks up his sleeve after, you know, being offensive coordinator and blowing it with the Falcons against the Patriots, and then having a double-digit lead and not finish against the Chiefs. And I think Kyle Shanahan's a good enough coach that it's going to be tough to just keep beating him every single time. So, you know, I'm not feeling great about this game on Sunday. I know Chiefs fans, there's some that are already just going, well, you can't lose. You're not going to lose to Brock Purdy. But the Niners are way more than Brock Purdy. So, and that's why I was leaning towards wanting the Lions, because it's been a rematch of a game the Chiefs lost this year.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Niners, I know the Chiefs beat them last year in regular season, and they beat them in the Super Bowl 4 years ago. But they, I don't know. I'm just not feeling as good about this game. And people say, well, the Niners, they got crushed by the Ravens. It's about matchups. It ain't about the Ravens crushing the Niners and the Chiefs beat the Ravens. Pressure's different in the postseason compared to regular season. As we know, the Ravens didn't handle it very well. Regular season, no problem. Blew out everybody. Tight game, postseason, personal foul, bad pass in the triple coverage. Will the Niners make those mistakes? I don't think so. They might make a few, but I don't think they're going to get personal fouls and keep drives alive and so forth and so on. And so, to me, the Chiefs' offense is going to have to play the entire game like they did the first half against Baltimore. Now, I'm not saying they got to score every time they have the ball, which they didn't against Baltimore. They scored touchdowns the first two drives. But I think the Chiefs are going to have to play offensively as well as they did in the first half for Baltimore, but they're going to have to sustain it for four quarters to beat the Niners. Can they do that? Of course they can. They're capable of doing it. But that's my concern, at least on a Monday. That's my concern going this game. I know Andy Reid's great with, you know, 2 weeks to prepare. I know Andy Reid's going to have a great game plan. I know the Chiefs are all, you know, fired up and ready to go. So will the Niners. But I don't feel nearly as good about this game as I did the previous two.
Yeah, and what happens there, you talk about you need to sustain what you did in the first half against Baltimore, and it's well documented that part of the reason they didn't was by design, right? And so they knew that they weren't going to take chances because their defense was playing so well.
Right.
And so a lot of that is game feel, like how's your defense playing against the 49ers at that point? Do you need to do that? Does it need to be sustained? Do you need to not make a mistake right here and just keep it at 17, right? Like, just don't do anything crazy that's going to lose you the game in the end. And if you do those things, and if that's the way the game, I don't I just feel like if the 49ers offense is healthy, I don't think that's the kind of game it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I know the Chiefs defense is good, and it's obviously the second best defense in the league, and all the numbers show that they're good enough to hang with them and probably good enough to beat them just on that alone. And as long as the offense comes out and does what they need to do, they can rely on that defense like they have for a lot of their wins this year. I think that's still the case. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be a 17-10 final score.
No,
case.
I don't either.
I do think it's going to take at least 24 points to win the game for the Chiefs. So maybe it's a 24-20 case.
Right.
But I still think there's going to be points in this game where the offense is going to have to do something that they're not just going to be like, oh, our defense is holding this team in check, so I'm not going to try to be aggressive here.
Yeah, they can't be as conservative, probably.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a point where Patty's going to have to be aggressive at some point.
Yeah,
and I think that's every Super Bowl, right? I think that the stakes are just higher, and the teams are just playing at a different level, and you know, maybe except for the Patriots Rams Super Bowl that was 13-3, but
right.
You know, I think that these kind of games always warrant something big has to happen offensively, mm-hmm. and it usually comes out that way. And so I agree with you on that part of it, that I think they need to get to 24. I don't know if I'm feeling any less or more confident in this game than I did the Bills game. Now, the Ravens game, I picked the Chiefs like you did, right? Mm-hmm. And I was fairly confident going into that. But the Bills game, compared to this game, I don't know which game I felt more confident in the Chiefs in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I picked the Chiefs to lose to the Bills. So.
Yeah, I was way confident that they would beat the Bills. I just like the setup, the matchup, and the injuries and everything else. This one, Niners don't have nearly as many injuries. Their defense hasn't played well the last few weeks, and they still won against good teams, and they are aware of how they haven't played very well. So they're not happy as a unit. That concerns me a little bit, too. So we'll continue to talk Chiefs in the Super Bowl later on this week on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. NBA, Steph Curry had 60 points against the Hawks on Saturday, and his team lost 141-134. 60 points is supposed to be a monumental thing. It's happened 5 times in the last 2 weeks in the NBA. Joel Embiid had 70, and now he might be out for the rest of the regular season with knee surgery. Carl Anthony Towns had 62 that same night in a loss. 3 days later, Luka Doncic had 73 in a win. Devin Booker had 62. Now Curry gets the 60, joining Kobe Bryant, who hit the 60-point mark in his final NBA game, as the only players in the history of NBA to do so at 35 or older. Throw in Giannis's 64 against Indiana in mid-December, and that's 6 60-point games in the NBA, the most in any season in NBA history, and we still have 2 months to play basketball. And you do see the scores. They're higher scoring games. I mean, there's used to be you never saw anything in the 120s, 130s. Now you're seeing stuff in the 130s, 140s. Some teams even crack 150 points. The rules are designed to obviously help the offense. And I don't know, man. I agree with the article. They said, you know, it used to be that you were like, wow, that guy had 40. Now you just like, whatever, it's no big deal. And it's like, it has to be 60 to get your attention. And now that's almost becoming like, yeah, big deal. You know, I saw some of the highlights of Luka's 73 points. And Luka's an amazing player. I want to see him in person someday. But I saw some of his points that he scored, some of his buckets he had, and the defense was non-existent. I mean, it was like a preseason game that nobody cared about. So does that take some luster off of these performances? I say yes, I do. And I think it really takes off the luster when you still lose. That tells you how it's not as important. Usually if you scored 60, you should win automatically. If you lose, you score 60 and you lose, and your team gave up 141, I mean, that takes some luster off of the whole 60-point performance. When you don't win, the other, you give up 141, as the Warriors did on Saturday.
I just look at this like...
Like, everybody gets 20 and 10, I swear. like I look at Wembanyama. Like, that guy, you're on a team that's horrible, but yet 22 and 14. I'm like, he's going to have these really awesome numbers at the end of the year. And I'm like, who won't? Who won't have awesome numbers?
Yeah, and I just, like, I look at these. Listen, I became a Spurs fan in, like, the early 2000s, and they were built on defense. And being a team, you know, like, a true team, like, sharing the basketball, obviously they're going to go to their main guys like Tim Duncan more often than not when they need that, right? But they knew how to share it, and they knew how to hold teams down. Yeah. And I remember watching an NBA Finals game that was in 88-77 final score, right? Like those type of scores sometimes, right?
We looked up the one that closed up a championship for the Spurs. What was it, 74-69?
76-69.
Something crazy like that.
And so, I mean, but now I'm looking at this, and you brought this up, and I was like, let me look at what the scores of the games were yesterday. And I'm looking at this, the Wizards, they score 112 points and lose by 28.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, how many times that I've seen that? It's just like one, the Spurs even.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're scoring 109 points and losing by 30. And it's like, what is going on? Like, 140-109 is the final. And it's like, what is going on in the league right now?
Right.
And it's been trending up like this for a while. Like, I remember one year I was looking at, like, the league leaders, and like the second best defense in the NBA was giving up 102 points a game. And I'm like, what?
Everybody scores 100.
Now it just gets worse, and it's getting worse, and it's I can't watch regular season basketball games because of it. It's just like, I'm not here to just watch offense all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun. Like, don't get me wrong. If I'm going to a game, I probably want it to be both teams score 100 points just to have fun while I'm at the game and watching it. Like, I probably don't want to watch it 86-79 or 76-69 game in the NBA.
Right.
But it's like, this is too much. Like, somebody's like the other day, was somebody like, somebody's going to score 100. And I'm like, well, if they trend like this, somebody probably will score 100 again.
They might lose.
Because they're just going to, like, they're going to be down by 30, and they're not going to care and just let the guy score 100.
Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves, when Karl Anthony Towns scored 62, they led most of the game. And Ant, Vincent Edwards, is it Vincent? Anthony Edwards? Which one is it? Anthony?
Anthony.
Okay, so Anthony, he said after the game, he even admitted, and that coach was so upset. And the Timberwolves right now are tied atop the West with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. The Clippers and the Nuggets are like within a game. So there's four teams playing really good ball right now in the Western Conference. And Doug Finch, head coach of Minnesota, said, well, we gave that game away because we weren't playing the game right, and we were worried about doing this or that. And Edwards said after the game that they were trying to get Karl Anthony Towns 100. Okay, yeah. So that's not that you've lost sight of what your goal is as an athlete. I thought Herm Edwards had it right. You play to win the game, not play to get your guy 100 and lose. You don't think Steph Curry'd rather have 30 and a win instead of 60 and a loss? I guarantee you would. But maybe Carl Anthony Towns, he may rather have 60 and a loss. It's possible, but that's kind of the mentality. And I was refreshing that Edwards admitted that, and the coach, that's what he was talking about, was we kept trying to get Karl Anthony Towns his points, or Karl Anthony Towns wouldn't pass the ball because he was trying to get his points. And I watched the highlights, and they showed it, and it was pretty bad. It was like one guy trying to get his, and that is never going to work.
No.
Never going to work, and it didn't. They lost, and they deserved to lose. And who knows, that loss might cost them a number one seed at the end of the year, which would be ironic. But it is... It's like the Chiefs when they were playing with Mahomes his first year. 54-51 against the Rams. That game was fun to watch if it's an occasional game. But when you keep seeing the Chiefs, like, well, they score and the Chiefs defense gives it right back. It's like, this is arena football. It's like one stop wins the game. Like, no, I want to see I won't go as far as Clover. Oh, by the way, Clover sent me a text, which I do agree with him on this to an extent. He goes, we played more defense and rec ball than the NBA plays right now. That may be true. There's also tons, you know, another reason why they can score a lot of points, they can travel as much as they want.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how bad the officiating has become in the NBA. And now you can't even challenge a shot and don't let them land, or that's somehow like a flagrant foul or something. No, it's insane. And you don't have any of the powerful big guys inside anymore. The game is, you know, everybody jacking threes. There's no mid-range game much anymore. It's dunks or it's shooting threes. So it's really kind of tough to watch. Now, the postseason is better because teams, they try harder on defense. They're trying to win a championship. So the postseason's better than it is the regular season. But where I will disagree with Todd about, and I remember, you know, you mentioned it a moment ago, the Rams, the Patriots Super Bowl was 13-3. That was a snooze fest. Okay. Now I understand people saying they appreciated the defense. So I don't disagree with Todd about that. I remember after that Super Bowl, he thought it was great. I didn't. But I did appreciate the defense.
Yeah, for sure.
But the offense was a combination of bad offense.
My team's not playing in that game. I did not enjoy it.
No,
at
exactly.
All.
Right. And so Patriot fans might have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Rams fans didn't because their offense was high profile and powered. No, I had 3 points in that game. And I know what we said at that time, and it still applies today, no matter what the sport is. I'm okay with the occasional, you know, defensive struggle. I'm okay with the occasional super high flying offenses scoring, you know, all at will. I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with baseball having, you know, four home runs in a game and a 10-8 slugfest. But I don't want to see 10-8 every night. And I, conversely, I don't want to see a 1-0 game where nobody can hit the ball swinging for the fences and strike out. I don't want to see 20 strikeouts every night in 1-0 or 2-1 games either. Mm-hmm. And when regards to the NBA we're referring to now, I'm okay with the occasional 140 to 138 game. And I'm probably okay with the occasional 95-91 game. But I don't want to see it all the time. I don't want to see the old days where they were playing in the 80s and the 70s in the NBA Finals. I don't. But I also don't want to see willy-nilly 140-150 points in the NBA Finals. I want to see two teams getting after it. I want to see good defense. I want to see some good offense. I want to see good offense that was better than good defense and vice versa. And so, you know, kind of the middle ground with the Super Bowl back then with the 13-3 game is that game would have been better for me if it was 21-13. Now, does that mean that it was a high-flying game? No, but it meant that some offense, there was more offense. The defense was still good. That would kind of be an in-between for me. And for the NBA, the in-between for me would probably be, you know, 115 to 112, something in that range. And I'm okay with 130, 140, 150 points, especially when my team wins. But it is ridiculous when you have final scores you've seen this year of 141 to 134, which you just had with the Warriors and the Hawks. That tells me both teams didn't play defense. Or the league doesn't allow them to play defense because the rules are so geared to the other team. I haven't watched a ton of NBA this year, and I'm not feeling sorry about that. But I have to say, when I saw that Curry scored 60, I don't feel the same about that as I did 2 years ago.
No. And like you say, when it's happening 5-6 times in a,
and there's still 2 months
recent
to go.
Stretch, right? And yeah. It's like, I don't know what we're doing here. For me, I think a perfect NBA score is like 112 to 99. Like the team's like trying to get to 100, yeah. And the defense actually plays and holds them under 100 for once, right? Like that for me, that's like the, obviously the offenses were there for part of the game, and the defense has actually had to step up and do something. Yeah. And so that's kind of where we're at with it right now. Now that doesn't happen a lot. I think even in the NBA Finals, there's going to be a lot of games where both teams are hitting triple digits, right?
And right.
So.
And I'm okay with triple digits, doing it. But lower hundreds
would
be better.
Exactly. I want to even like a 119 to 108 or something. You know, like just give me something that's I definitely don't want 141 to 134 every game in the finals because nobody. That means neither team got here on any kind of defensive merit. Yeah. And they're not. I mean, they're just relying on guys to shoot, and this team just made more shots than the other team. It wasn't that the other team stopped them. And so that's – I kind of just like to see – and it happens when you get to the postseason. They're not going to be 141 to 134 finals all the time. But, you just want to see teams that are giving an effort on both ends of the floor and at least making stops.
Yes.
And not just relying on them breaking threes because they're just jacking up shots all the time.
Sometimes I watch it, it looks like exhibition basketball or an all-star game. And I know nobody plays Divas all-star game until the very end. And that's what it looks like sometimes, these regular season games.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.